Welcome everybody to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I'm Anthony Irwin. I am joined by nobody. We have guests lined up for the rest of the week mostly, and I'm still working on getting together the last couple here. But I'm going to be flying solo for this one. It's going to be a combination of a wrap-up of today's rumors, which, you know, there weren't any Lakers-specific ones, but there were a couple rumors here that have now popped up that the Lakers haven't been involved in, which feel just about as important as anything that we could talk about the Lakers actually being involved in so far. The Houston Rockets have now added DeMar Carroll and Jeff Green, two big athletic wings and two players that the Lakers should probably have been in on. So I'm going to talk about that. And then I'm going to, like I said yesterday, we have a ton of questions in the iTunes mailbag. So I'm going to open that up for segments, you know, whatever we have left of segments two and three. So like I said, you had the Houston Rockets, who already are basically all wings, right? They should probably change the sponsor on the front of their jersey to some like either Wingstop or Buffalo Wild Wings, whatever, because they have 37 wings on their roster, and so I would kind of, especially having seen the Rockets play against the Lakers now. Look, that was a bit of an outlier situation. The Lakers hadn't, there was no way for the Lakers to be able to scout for those guys on such short notice. But still, having seen the Rockets in action, there is some stuff that I find really interesting about this approach to team building, where they say, you know what, we just don't think you can guard any of us one-on-one, especially Harden and especially Russell Westbrook. So we're just going to force you to, we're going to spread you out, and you're either going to get beat by Russell Westbrook and beat by James Harden, or you're going to have to help, and then we'll kick it out to a shooter, and you'll trade twos for threes against us. And, you know, I think it's an interesting experiment. I don't know if it's going to work in a playoff setting, but I'm sure as hell going to watch. They have now added to that experiment by signing two guys in that 6'7" to 6'9" kind of range. And, you know, both those guys, I would imagine, are going to probably have, you know, they're going to play some playoff minutes. And, you know, obviously, neither DeMar Carroll nor Jeff Green are in their primes. But what you would have been doing is, so let's all agree that the Lakers aren't going to get anything from Troy Daniels this year, right? Like, the minutes aren't there. He's not the kind of player that I think the Lakers or Lakers fans would have hoped he could have been. So, you know, let's say the Lakers waive Boogie and Troy Daniels and add either DeMar Carroll and Jeff Green or DeMar Carroll and Tyler Johnson or something like that. And you know, you're now getting something, even while Carroll is not the kind of player that you want in there for 20 some odd minutes in a playoff game. But those minutes that he's in there, even if it's just six fouls against Paul George or Kawhi Leonard or Giannis, eventually that those minutes and those fouls do offer up some kind of value. And you know, for the Lakers, we said this at the time when Pelinka got promoted. He still has a bit of work to do, a lot of work to do, right? And back then it was, well, you could, if you replace Rajon Rondo with Darren Collison, then that's a huge amount of work that is now out of the way. And if you swap out, you know, DeMarcus Cousins or Troy Daniels for a big wing, then, and at the time we thought it was going to be Andre Iguodala. Neither of those things have come to fruition. Neither Darren Collison nor Andre Iguodala came to fruition, and Rob Pelinka still has a ton of work left to do. And, you know, I think the gap between, say, the Lakers and the Clippers and the Lakers and the Bucks is almost impossible to define right now, and we probably aren't going to know definitively until even still a little further into the season. But, you know, let's just, the fact that I think we can all agree there is a gap and there are shortcomings on this roster that were pretty obvious right from the get-go, Rob Pelinka had some work to do here, and to this point, he hasn't taken care of business. Again, he had a role in bringing LeBron James in, right? Although Magic Johnson will tell you that was more Magic, and non-Lakers people will tell you that LeBron was interested in coming to the Lakers for non-basketball reasons. And then, you know, now Pelinka was able to successfully trade for Anthony Davis. But even there, they kind of sort of overpaid, given the fact that Boston wasn't going to include Jason Tatum, and the Knicks were the other team that was involved in those trade talks. All the Lakers had to do was beat the best offer, and they took it upon themselves to lap the next best offer for Anthony Davis. Now, they got the deal done, and the Lakers right now sit at, what is it, 43-11 or something, some crazy number, 42-11. Whatever they did has worked to this point, and Pelinka deserves a lot of credit for this. But he still had work to do, still has work to do, and the Lakers have now not really been in on a lot of the players that you would kind of hoped, you would have hoped that they could have been in on. We are going to take a quick second. When I come back, I want to talk about why the Lakers might not have been in on that, and we'll kind of decide together whether or not we think that explanation is a good enough one for the Lakers not getting involved on some of these free agents from the buyout market. Today's show is brought to you in part by Theragun. The stress of daily life weighs on us all. Whether you're an elite athlete or just a regular person trying to get through the day, muscle pain and muscle tension is a real thing. That's why I use Theragun, the handheld percussive therapy device that releases your deepest muscle tension using a scientifically calibrated combination of depth, speed, and power. Personally, I do a ton of typing and work on the computer. I'm dealing with some intense tendonitis right now, and the Theragun device has really helped me out there. So if you want to feel better naturally, treat your pain, and get back to your regular life, try Theragun risk-free for 30 days or your money back by going to theragun.com/lockedon. Again, that's theragun.com/lockedon. For a limited time, our listeners to this podcast get a free charging stand with purchase, a $79 value. That's theragun.com/lockedon. Theragun.com/lockedon, spelled Theragun.com/lockedon. So we talked in the first segment about, you know, that the Lakers did not have not been in on some of the free agents that have been signed away. You have Michael Kidd-Gilchrist going to Dallas. You have, like I said earlier, DeMar Carroll and Jeff Green apparently going to Houston. You have Marvin Williams. I forget where Marvin Williams was going, but he's going to Milwaukee. So, you know, you have the Lakers not in on some of these very could be useful wings, and again, like I'm not saying that, you know, the Lakers would sign any one of these guys, whether it's Marvin Williams, DeMar Carroll, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, Jeff Green. None of those guys would be a part of the Lakers' best five man units. And you know, even if Mo Harkless were to come available and he was bought out, even he wouldn't be a part of the Lakers' five-man units, and thus probably wouldn't play the most important minutes in any of these playoff games. But it's about getting to those minutes. It's about offering up a different look. It's about filling a role that the Lakers really don't really have right now. They have Danny Green as their biggest wing defender, and I don't think it's a coincidence that his shooting is down a little bit given the defensive responsibilities he's been asked to carry. Then you have LeBron James, but do you want to wear him down over the course of a playoff series? And then, you know, the next guy who was in that size range is Kyle Kuzma, and you definitely don't want to rely on Kyle Kuzma to slow anybody down defensively. The Lakers could use a wing, and they have at least one guy on their roster who is not doing anything, who is not going to do anything for them. And now, yes, there was the quote over the weekend that Frank Vogel says that DeMarcus Cousins could return come playoff time. I think that's Frank Vogel paying lip service to a guy on a team that he coaches. I don't think the Lakers are even counting that as a possibility here with DeMarcus. So, you know, if you have a very obvious and desperate need at a very important spot, too, by the way. You need wing defenders to have success in the postseason. So if you have as desperate a need as the Lakers do, and there are players that have come available, and you aren't even rumored to be one of the teams that spoke to those guys before they got swept up, then I want to know what's going on here. And, you know, I have precious little access to the decision maker in this situation, right? And Pete and I have talked about how little input Rob Pelinka apparently gets in the decisions he makes or doesn't make with the Lakers. And I think where we're at right now is the Lakers value their team chemistry over whatever basketball upgrade or addition they could make. Whether that's via the trade market or now in the buyout market. And, you know, I think there's something to that. I think they see this team as a special group, and they see this chemistry as something that, you know, the foundation of the culture that the Lakers are still trying to build. I think that's something that's important to keep in mind here, too, is that the Lakers are still trying to rebuild an organizational culture that had been lacking for, you know, the last half decade. So I think you kind of factor all that in. And the Lakers, I think, are reluctant to pull the trigger on some of these moves because they, you know, they want to see what this team is capable of. And then, you know, if there are shortcomings that, you know, if some of the bugaboos that have bothered the Lakers this year continue to bother them, then you know, they'll rethink some stuff come the off season. But, you know, I think for right now, I think where they're at is, well, yes, Jeff Green could maybe help this team, and there's a really good chance that he just fits right in to the team culture, and they just figure it out, and they hit the ground running as soon as he gets there, with him playing the minimalized role that he's probably getting ready to play. I know Jeff Green, I think Green is also signing a 10-day contract in Houston. I think he wants to make sure that wherever he goes, there's a significant role, or as significant a role as possible for him, seeing as he probably only has, you know, maybe one or two contracts left in him in his NBA career. So he's looking for opportunity. But, you know, with all of these guys, and I think Green is an interesting example here because he does have a history with LeBron. The Lakers did work out J.R. Smith. We haven't really heard anything about how that went. I think the fact that we didn't hear much about it would kind of imply that he didn't exactly blow them away. But, you know, I've been wrong about plenty before. But here with the Lakers, they're basically saying, yes, one of these guys or a couple of these guys might be able to help from a basketball standpoint, but will there be a trade-off from an off-court standpoint? And will that trade-off be worth it, you know, in terms of net gains? And you know, personally, I would say yes. I would say get the best basketball players that you possibly can and see if they can work things out, especially in a case of Jeff Green here, where he does have some history with LeBron. They seem to be really close, and you know, that would make him kind of fitting in a lot easier. And you know, there are other cases here. DeMar Carroll, I don't think, is the biggest LeBron fan, so I don't think that was really ever a possibility. Obviously, the guys that got traded, you know, Jay Crowder and Andre Iguodala, the Lakers never had a shot at those guys because they didn't want to make a trade. And then, you know, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, all right, fine. From a basketball standpoint, maybe he wouldn't help enough to you know, lose any sleep over because of his lack of shooting. The interesting one is going to be Mo Harkless. And you know, I'm sure you guys have noticed that as soon as some of these guys get bought out, or even before they get bought out, they usually get bought out with another team already lined up that they're going to go to. It's not like these guys sit on the waiver wire for an immense amount of time and then finally get swept up. Marvin Williams was picked up by Milwaukee almost immediately. Same goes for Michael Kidd-Gilchrist. I believe Evan Turner just worked out for the Clippers, even though he's technically a member of the Minnesota Timberwolves right now. So what goes on here is that these teams do some back-channeled or approved communication with one of the players that might eventually get bought out. And eventually they'll say, yeah, if you get bought out, then yeah, there's absolutely a home and a role for you. And if that role makes sense for you, then ask to be waived and we will pick you up. And, you know, in the case of Mo Harkless, this is where the Lakers have to be doing that. And I'm not saying they aren't, right? I'm just saying this is where they have to be doing their homework to be able to avoid, you know, having somebody else get in Harkless's ear and say, oh, yeah, if you get bought out, then we have this role for you. We have X amount of minutes, and we are going this far, we think, in the playoffs, and we think you can help. This is where the Lakers and Rob Pelinka specifically need to get something done here. It's just too gaping a hole in the roster for them not to do something. And they've had opportunities now to this point. Maybe they've said that the fit wasn't ideal or the player wasn't good enough to risk chemistry issues on the team. Then fine. But I think Harkless is of the players that have been released, is probably the best player. And if he does hit the market or if he is looking to be bought out, I believe he got a couple DNP CDs as soon as he got to New York. And I believe he's from New York, too. And he said that playing for the Knicks is a dream come true. I think what you have going on here is he's kind of weighing his options and doesn't want to seem desperate to the buyout market. But this is where the Lakers can do some back-channeled communications with them. Not tampering, just kind of feel, you know, test the water here and see where Harkless's head's at. And see if they can get in on a player who would legitimately help this team. So, we'll see where things go. I'm recording this at 11 p.m. out here in Austin time, 9 p.m. Back home on the West Coast. So maybe between the time that I release this show and the time I record this next show, that something does actually come to fruition and all of this was a bunch of wasted verbiage. But to this point right now, Pelinka does have a job that he has to still do, and he was promoted as if he was going to do that job. Or maybe the Lakers considered the job that he did enough to just earn that promotion on its own merits, which, fine, I guess. Usually the Lakers demand, you know, excellence and success before they reward somebody for success, but you know, Pelinka did play a key role and is very close to some very important people in the organization, and they rewarded him as such. But just like I wrote about with Kyle Kuzma, and I wrote this at the time with Rob Pelinka, if the Lakers are going to show commitment to either, you know, to guys either on the court or in the front office, those people now also have to meet that commitment with the results that come as expectations from the Lakers. Let's take a quick second here. When we come back, I'm going to finish off by answering a few of your questions. All right, the first question here comes from NeverWorry24. Weird question, but is it a bad thing to want a player to get injured? Because we all know we want that guy on our team injured. Oh, I think we're talking about Rondo. Very important side note. At the end of every episode, there is a Locked On Clippers ad. I'm sure every other listener wants that band. They tried to say they have the best team in the city on the ad. It's frustrating to hear, and I'm tired of those two guys' voices, and I only hear it for 5 seconds after the show. Get that handled, please. We don't want that at the end of the show. I'm not in charge of the ads that get added after the fact, after editing. So there's nothing I can do there. Look, you don't root for injury. These guys make their living through their body, and just like on a human note, right? Like somebody has to do something truly despicable, either to you or in general, for you to you know, hope for ill will on that person. In this case, Rondo just not being very good at basketball anymore isn't truly despicable. And no, I'm not okay with rooting for injury there. But we could root for retirement in the offseason. Let's go to the next question here. We go up to Trip Before C. The question is, so I have a question, but I also first would like to say something that being the only Laker fan for a few hundred miles of here, I can only share here. Kobe passing, I know it happened, but my brain still can't come to terms with it. It's like he's still out there, and my brain wants to overlook the truth. But the question, with the assumption the Lakers have the one seed, what seeding would you like to see in the West for the best matchups? So I would want Denver in the four spot. Or either Denver or Utah in the four spot. Oh, you know, so basically the Lakers. I would want Lakers and then the Clippers at the two spot, either two or three, right? Because those teams face off in the second round, and then one of either Denver or Utah at the four spot. And then in terms of first round matchups, you know, Pete still seems to believe that the Trailblazers have a chance at making the playoffs still. If the Blazers get into the playoffs, I want to see them at the eight spot. That's a terrible matchup for them, and I think the Lakers would probably sweep them pretty easily. So I think that's how I'd prefer to see that go. Regarding Kobe, it's funny that it's not funny, but while while Chance was kind of remembering Kobe, and while Magic was saying the words that he said about Kobe, with his voice cracking, holding back emotion, Jennifer Hudson sang that beautiful song for Kobe, and then you had everybody out there wearing, you know, 2 and 24. Chris Middleton looked way too much like Kobe. It was almost a little weird at some points. My brain was kind of going through the same thing where, you know, everybody is sitting there and there are tears kind of streaming down the faces of people that were attending the All-Star game. And, I know Allen Iverson and LeBron James shared a pretty emotional hug while Iverson was rocking a Kobe jersey. Shouts to Allen Iverson, by the way. That's what former players should be like after their careers are over. Just enjoy the game. While that game was going on, I found myself just saying, like, we shouldn't be doing this. We shouldn't have to be doing this. And some people, I tweeted that out, and, you know, a couple people, one person really took it, misunderstood my meaning there. I wasn't saying that we shouldn't be honoring Kobe. I was saying that we shouldn't have to be honoring Kobe. He should still be here with us. We should have still been able to enjoy a few more decades of the wisdom that Kobe had to share. And, you know, I think that's kind of one of the initial stages of coming to terms with the fact that he's actually gone. You're sitting there saying, no, this is just, it's not cool. We shouldn't have to be doing this right now. But I'm sure, you know, the Trip Before C, you're not alone in terms of a lot of the people out there that still just haven't quite come to grips with the fact that somehow this guy that we all considered immortal is just no longer with us. Let's go one more question here. This is from I Miss D'Lo. Hey guys, I want to thank you both for the content you produced during Kobe's passing. I'm sure it wasn't easy during that incredibly difficult time. This tragedy is still something I'm really struggling with. It's impossible for me to watch Kobe highlights or see pictures of him and Gigi and not tear up. But the pods really helped me during that tough time. That really meant a lot to me. Meant a lot to us too. Means the world to me. Quick question, why do you guys think Danny Green's minutes have been so low and why he struggled to get playing time at the end of close games? So those are two very different questions. The first one, why his numbers are or why his minutes are where they at. Over the course of his career, he has played fewer minutes than you would probably think for a player as important as Danny Green is. The Lakers are also asking a lot of him, you know, just in terms of the type of minutes that he's playing in these games. So some of that is like a quality versus quantity type of question. It's really hard for Green to load manage out there on the court. Now, in terms of him getting minutes at the end of games, that's always weird to me. Anytime I see the Lakers closing out a close game and Danny Green isn't on the court, I find myself pulling my hair out of my head. It makes no sense to me. Now, I think some of this is over the course of an 82-game season. Vogel wants to see what he has in that specific type of, you know, close game situation. And he knows that Danny Green is going to be good. And I think over the course of the next 30 games or so, we're going to see more of, you know, we're going to trim the rotation down further and further until we finally get to what the playoff rotation might actually look like. And what that would mean is that Green gets more of those minutes come late game situations because they have to get those reps together. So that's something definitely to pay attention to. And it's also something that I and a lot of people have noticed, that Green isn't out there given what he specifically adds to the team while he's on the court. That'll do it for this episode of the Locked On Lakers podcast. We have a fun couple episodes to come in the next couple days with some fun guests that I'm really looking forward to talking to. So make sure you guys tune in for that. Thank you again for all of your questions. And if you want questions or topics covered in the show, make sure you send them in the form of a 5-star review on iTunes or at my Patreon, patreon.com/AnthonyYorinLA, to be able to get those questions in. Have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Sorry about listening to the Clippers guys right now.